In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, how much do we need Jesus? We need him 100%. Without him, we have nothing. Oh, you can be a millionaire, but if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing, because you're going to leave your money behind. And where are you going after you die? Do you know that he shed his blood for you? Oh, yes, he shed his blood for you. I'm talking to you. And your money cannot buy salvation. But the blood of Jesus brings salvation to those who repent. The blood of Jesus brings salvation to those who repent. How do we repent? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to sin anymore. Cover me with your blood. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. I'm looking at Luke 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him. Why the crowd? They want to touch him. They want to be healed. They want to be delivered. For they were all waiting for him. Oh, yes, we're waiting for Jesus. We're waiting for his presence to fill us. We need his presence. Without his presence, how can we go on? Just then, there came a man named Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. So Jairus speaks to Jesus, "Come to my house, please. My daughter is dying. Come to my house, please. I'm on my knees. My daughter is dying." As he went, the crowds pressed in on Jesus. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from woman trouble, hemorrhages, for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Why did it happen? Because she touched him with faith. Oh, the crowds touched him too, but not with any expectant faith. They were not expecting anything. They touched him. He brushed against them. But when this woman touches the fringe of his cloak, she touches it with faith. We need that faith that gives us a response from God. Faith, faith, faith. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I felt power had gone out from me." He felt the power going out for him. I tell you, when we pray over people, sometimes they hear, feel the power. Not always, but the prayer is still answered. I remember praying with Barbara last Sunday, and I was praying for one of her limbs, and she said, "Oh, I can feel the power. I can feel the power. I can feel the power." And if she felt the power, she felt the power, and she was healed on Sunday. I hope she's still healed today. If not, we'll just have to pray with her again. When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She touched him with faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Faith in his blood. Faith in the church that preaches Christ. Faith. We need that faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. While he was still speaking, someone came from the leader's house to say, Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer. When Jesus heard this, he replied, Do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved. Do not fear. You know, fear is something awful. It eats our faith. It eats our faith like acid. Be not afraid. The Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. We don't want to fear because that literally eats our faith. But you know what? Even if you fear, you can ask the Lord to help you. I remember being afraid of going back to the seminary. And I reminded the switchboard operator that fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. And she would tell me, I said, give me what I told you to give me. Fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. That's real. That's real. I've got a YouTube talk on that, and it's the most seen talk because people are afraid. People are afraid. Fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. They were all weeping and wailing for her. These are the crowds weeping and wailing because she's dead. But he said, Don't weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed. You could see that their mourning was very deep. They laughed. They laughed at Jesus, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and called out the child, Get up. Her spirit returned, and she had got up at once. Then he directed them to give her something to eat. Jesus is so practical. Give her something to eat. I told you the story about the young girl that had anorexia. I knew all the talking in the world was not going to have her stop with her anorexia. She was not going to eat. All my talking would do no good. So I told her, why don't we just ask Jesus and we'll open the Bible and you put your finger on something and we'll read it. And what do you think she read? Give her something to eat. My Lord, out of all the Bible, this was the line she needed to hear. I said, what do you want to eat? She said, a vanilla frap. I said to the father, go get her a vanilla frap. Give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them to tell no one what had happened. That's a joke, because now the crowds outside the house know that she's alive, she's not dead. Everyone's going to tell about Jesus. Everyone. And I'm going to tell you, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are going to be jealous of Jesus. Then Jesus, chapter 9, called the 12 together and gave them power. Say that word, power and authority. Say that word, authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through villages, bringing the good news of the kingdom and curing diseases everywhere. This is the call of the church. It's not only the call of the priest. This is the call of the church to lay hands upon the sick that they would be healed. This call is for you. You are a disciple of the Lord. I remember hearing Barbara Sevalis saying, we prayed with a man who had cancer, and the cancer went away when he was checked again. Barbara learned that she could lay hands upon the sick, and the sick would get well. This is real. This is real. You are called to lay hands upon the sick. What if they're not healed? Well, you don't heal them at all anyway. God heals them. The only thing you can do is lay hands and pray with faith. That's all I can do. I don't have anything else that I have to do. I can't make people whole. I can only pray that Jesus Christ heals them now by the power of his cross, by the power of his blood. Now Herod, the ruler, he was crazy, you know, heard about all that had taken place, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the ancient prophets had arisen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he tried to see him. He had no faith. He wanted to see healings, but he had no faith. Oh, it took me years of praying over people to see people healed. Oh, yes, it took me years, but I kept on praying because Jesus told me, lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. And it took me years to see people healed. Oh, I'd have one or two here or there. I remember the first healing. I said, someone's being healed of a mastoid. I didn't even know what it was. I knew it had to do with the ear. And the lady called me back the next day and said, I had a mastoid, but it broke and I'm healed. Praise God. Praise God. That was the first healing that I found out about. Then the next one was in months and months later. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. What did they do? They laid hands upon the sick and they were healed. They laid hands upon the sick and they were healed. They were telling Jesus all they had done. He took them with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowd found out about it, here it is again, they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. Do you need to be cured today? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you need to be cured today? Ask Jesus. I have and I'm not cured. Well, ask him again. Ask him again. Go to the root of the problem, Jesus. Go to the root of the sickness, Jesus. A lady came to me and said that her food was cursed. So we cast out the demons from her, and she was completely healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was from another country. She was from Nigeria. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away, so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place. But Jesus said to them, You give them something to eat. Oh, yes. You give them something to eat. I tell you, I'm giving you something to eat today. I'm giving you something to eat today, the Word of God. Take it to yourself. Let God touch your heart. You have the power to bring healing to people. You have the power. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you sit at his feet, if you go and pray, oh yes, you have the power. You give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there was about 5,000 men, not counting the women and not counting the children. So there was mobs of people. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and made them sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. Are you eating the Word of God today? Are you filled today? Are you believing that God wants you healed? Are you believing that it's at the roots that he has to heal you? Are you believing that you are being sent out to bring healing to the sick by your prayers? But I don't pray like you. You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to pray like me. You have to pray like you. But I'm timid. Get over it. Just get over being timid. Let's continue. What was left over was gathered up 12 baskets of broken pieces. Wow. Wow. This was the spirit of the Holy Spirit of multiplication. The Lord said to me many years ago, it's going to get so bad that you'll have to multiply food. And I said, I can't do that. He said, as you give it away, it will be multiplied. As you give it away, it will be multiplied. Once when Jesus was praying alone, Jesus had to pray. He is a man. He needs to be in the presence of his Father. And only the disciples were near him. He asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? I'm going to ask you, who do you say that Jesus is? He's a teacher. Oh, no, he's much more than a teacher. He's a philosopher. Oh, no, he's much more than a philosopher. Who do you say that he is? He's a healer. He's much more than a healer. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. The scripture says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. They answered, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and so others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Hallelujah, Lord, I know who you are. You are the Messiah of God. I know who you are. You are the Lord of glory, the Lord of history. I know who you are. You are my Savior, my Redeemer. You are everything to me. Hallelujah. But who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Messiah of God. He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone. And you know what? They were ordered not to tell anyone. And they didn't until after the resurrection. Let's continue. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Jesus is telling them that I have to die. I have to go to the cross. I have to take your sins. I have to absorb all the darkness that's in humanity. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. What's your cross? You are the cross. I am the cross. And we are to pick up ourselves by the grace of God every day and watch Jesus work. Oh, yes, I have someone coming in today. They have a child that's sick. So you pray that that child gets better. You pray that God does a miracle. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. Do you know that today? What does it profit then if you gain the whole world but lose or forfeit yourself? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his glory and the glory of the Father and the glory of the angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I want to tell the world about Jesus. So who do I tell? I tell you. To me, you're the world. You, personally, you're the world to me. I want to tell you about Jesus, about his great love, about his great power, about his great humility. I want to tell you about Jesus so that you will be saved. Oh, yes, you are the world to me. But truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Now, about 8 days later, after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and went up a mountain to pray. This is Mount Tabor. Let's continue. He was praying. This is the only gospel that tells us on Mount Tabor Jesus was praying. But his appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah. Why Moses? He means the law. Why Elijah? He means the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Talking to him, they appeared in glory and were speaking about his departure, his death in Jerusalem. They were speaking to him, which was to take place and accomplished in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, these two men, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. They're scared stiff. Let us make three dwellings, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified. As they entered the cloud, then the cloud came a voice that said, This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. It was the Father. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of these things that they had seen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord Jesus, give us faith, the faith that comes from your heart. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.